And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sage, written by Paul Reiner. Yep, here they are again, folks. Vic and Sage and our good friend, Mrs. Beach, all brought to you by the makers of Crisco. Mrs. Beach has been sitting here making out her shopping list. Well, what are you feeding that big family of yours tonight, Mrs. Beach?
You'll get hungry when I tell you, Mr. Roberts. It's going to be fried chicken. You know, friends, when I walked by the market this morning, the fryers looked awfully good. They are this time of year, you know. And so inexpensive, too. In fact, fryers and broilers are the Victory Food Special right now. You know, the government has asked us women to buy these Victory Food Specials whenever we can. It's surprising how much little things can mean in helping to win this war, isn't it? Well, apparently, there's an unusually large number of chickens on hand. And just by having broilers or fried chicken for dinner, well, we're helping out. My children should know that, the way they like fried chicken. They'd eat it every day in the week. I add poultry seasoning to the flour I dip my chicken in. It makes fried chicken taste specially good. And, of course, I fry it in Crisco. It's such a reassuring feeling knowing Crisco is digestible. Crisco is, you know. Ask your doctor about that sometime. Why, I've never worried about letting my youngsters eat Crisco fried foods. They're so crisp and light and as digestible as if they were baked. You know, Crisco is a shortening that's pure and all vegetable, and that means so much to fried foods. Why, there's no strong odor or unpleasant taste to Crisco the way there is to some shortenings. Honestly, you'd think such a wholesome shortening as Crisco would be expensive, wouldn't you? But it isn't. Why, you can do all your frying with Crisco for less than 2 cents a day. I think that's wonderful. Because, well, Crisco means so much to good food. And now, let's see who's home at the Gook, shall we?
Well, sir, it's early evening as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. Vic and Sade are seated in the swing, and young Rush is perched on the railing facing them. Listen.
What's the situation we have to cope with?
Situation?
You certainly can't have forgotten. You said at the supper table we had a situation to cope with, and it was so important you wouldn't discuss it while we ate. Must be some life or death crisis if it slipped your mind already.
Oh, yeah, it did slip my mind.
You noticed the house was on fire and planned on doing something about it later on?
Rush, you going to stick around?
Wish to discuss something of a private nature, do you?
Oh, I guess it's not so horrible private.
Well, I can go down to the basement or out in the alley or someplace if you people want to engage in a confidential chat.
You can sit still, I guess. But it's grown-up secrets we're talking about, so don't be telling tales out of school.
Mum's the word.
Yeah.
What about the situation? I want to cope with it.
Well, Ruthie's upset.
Matter of fact.
Yes.
You people skulking around talking about individuals being upset. Puts me in mind of Smelly Clark's Uncle Scrap and his lady friend, the time they headed for Peoria for purposes of eating fish dinner.
You can stay here, Rush, if you want, but you'll just have to sit still and listen.
You'd prefer I didn't participate in the conversation?
Not till I get through telling what I got to tell, at least.
Fine.
Ruthie's trouble, Vic, over... I expect you'll think this is silly.
Very likely. What's Ruthie troubled over?
The Christmas present Fred is making for me.
Oh?
Darndest stuff comes up all the time. Every single day seems like there's a new situation to cope with.
That's life.
A person never can go around without anything on their mind.
That's life.
I like salted peanuts.
That's life.
Yes, isn't it? Now, why don't you put on your cap and pull it down over your ears?
You caught me in a trap that time.
Ruthie's troubled. Ruthie's troubled over the Christmas present Fred's making for you. What is that Christmas present?
A gross of gravel.
Come over that again, Lum.
Fred Stembottom is making me a gross of gravel. 12 dozen of them.
You mean those little hammers that you pound on the table when you conduct the symbol club meeting?
Yes, a gross of them, 144 gravel.
The word is gavel, Ma.
You know that heap of scrap lumber he's got in the basement.
Uh-huh.
It's odds and ends of wood he got from some cabinet maker chum of his here in town.
Harry McWilliams, I know him. He's got a shop someplace over in the west side.
Yeah. Well, Fred had this brilliant idea, see? I'll whittle out Sadie a whole big bunch of gravels to conduct her symbol club meetings with. Here's this monstrous heap of elegant scrap lumber at my disposal. I'll whittle out a gross of gravels and put them in a fancy box and give them to Sadie for Christmas.
I think that's a very pretty thought.
Well, yes, sweet of them and all, but goodness, what do I want with 144 gravels?
Mom, the word is gavels.
Hmm?
You said gravel.
Well?
It's gavels.
What's gavel?
The word is gravel. I mean gavels.
What's he talking about?
He's trying to correct the mistake that you've been making for a good many years. The little hammers that we've been discussing are gravels rather than gavels. The word spells...
Gavels rather than gravels, Gov. You're twisted now.
I said gravels rather than gavels.
Oh, well, for mercy's sake, what is this?
Gov, you had a slip of the tongue.
Maybe you had better go someplace else. Hmm. Or else give a person 6/9 of a chance to finish what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
Shall I make another stab at this?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Fred got this brilliant idea, see? I'll whittle Sadie out a whole gross of gravels and give them to her for Christmas. He was proud as a horse of his brilliant idea. So original, don't you know, and all.
Original, all right.
He boasted to Ruthie. He said, I'll bet nobody else in the world ever give anybody 144 gravels for Christmas before.
He's probably right.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, what's Ruthie's beef?
How you mean?
What's Ruthie kicking about?
Well, the senselessness of it. Imagine a gross of gravel. 12 dozen gravels. 144 gravels.
Yeah, well.
Rush, what on earth is eating you?
I'd like to clear up one little point, and then I'll keep absolutely quiet.
You want to tell a story about Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap eating fish with his girl in Peoria?
No, I want to put you straight on the matter.
Vic, maybe I better tell you about this some other time. Next Tuesday, say.
This will only take 6 seconds.
Oh.
If you'll consult the dictionary, you'll discover...
You consult the dictionary.
The word gravel means little rocks and stones.
Thanks. You finished?
The word gavel, spelled G-A-V-E-L, means a little hammer you use when you conduct thimble club meetings.
Now, are you finished?
Yes.
I'll try again, Dick.
Okay.
144 gravels is senselessness. One gravel will last a person a lifetime.
I give up.
You've been warned, Rush.
I give you my solemn word I won't say another word.
Fine. I'll take my fancy gravel all carved with curlicues and trash the thimble club ladies give me when I was made president. Now, that gravel will last forever. Gravels don't wear out. If Fred whittles me out 144 gravels, it just means I got 144 gravels to find space for. With this house cluttered up with rubbish the way it is already. And that's what bothers Ruthie. She appreciates how cramped we are for room. Why, I bet 144 gravels would require a box as big as Rush's dresser. Ish.
Well, why don't Ruthie tell Fred that?
Well, she did. But he's so fond of his brilliant idea, he won't listen to her. And then, of course, he's obstinate. Once he gets a notion, he sticks to it. And besides, he enjoys whittling out them gravels. Ruthie says he's got 9 or 10 finished already.
Mm-hmm. He's only got 134 to go.
144 gravels.
Oh, my.
What you moaning about, Miss Dwyer?
Nothing.
Gravels don't wear out.
Well, have you a plan for coping with this situation?
Yes.
I bet it involves me.
It does.
Okay, I will solve the great gravel problem.
No, you're saying it.
Huh?
You're saying gravel now.
Why not? No sense in beating my head against a stone wall.
What's this?
Nothing. How do you want me to go about solving the great gravel problem?
Speak to Fred.
You said he had been spoken to.
Yes, by Ruthie, not by you.
Shall I say, Fred, you scoundrel, if you give my wife any half-wit gravels for Christmas, I'll break your...
No, me and Ruthie thought is to work it like this. They're coming here to play 500 tomorrow night, you know.
Uh-huh.
We'll do like we generally do. They'll come up on the porch here, and then me and Ruthie will go upstairs to fix our face, leaving you and Fred alone to chat a little bit. There's your chance.
I'll grasp him firmly by the throat and I'll...
Hey, Gov, put him through that ceremony it tells about in Volume 7 of your large library.
Which ceremony is that, Wilhelmina?
Well, you break his walking stick over your knee and rip the buttons off his coat, vest, shirt, and underwear and slap his face and...
I'm not inclined to joke about matters pertaining to my large rush.
Uh-huh.
Must counsel you to seek other fields for your wit and humor.
I'm not getting along with anybody tonight.
We thought, Ruthie and me, you could get at Fred from this angle.
Uh-huh.
Bring up the subject of gravels easy and casual. Might be a good idea to have my gravel laying here in the swing.
Yeah.
You and Fred sit down and you pick up the gravel and twirl it around in your fingers, maybe.
This gravel belongs to my wife, Fred. Handsome, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a very substantial gravel, Fred. Lasts a lifetime.
That's it.
She's got 2 other gravels upstairs.
Wonderful. And it'd be the truth, too.
You have got 2 other gravels upstairs?
Well, I've got those 2 little wooden tomahawks tied together with ribbon that say Compliments of Indian Hill, Wisconsin on them. They could be used for gravels. Matter of fact, I did use one of them for gravel once.
Well, dandy.
And you can kind of get spilled away to Fred about how absolutely useless more than one gravel is. Fred, you can say,
person has about as much use for an extra gravel as they have for an extra elbow or extra knee.
Oh, that's laying it on pretty thick. Won't he suspect somebody's put a bug in my ear?
All right, let him suspect. At least you'll be getting it across how we feel about 144 gravels in the house.
Yeah.
Very likely the idea will occur to him, Ruthie's whispered the story to us. But he'll realize we don't want any 144 gravels, and he'll quit whittling out 144 gravels.
He might turn on Ruthie in mighty rage.
Hmm?
Okay. 144
gravels.
Not gravels, Mom. It's gavels.
Hmm?
The word is gavel.
Gravel?
No, gavels.
Gravels.
Oh, my.
Give up, Margaret.
Oh, my.
144 gravels. Think of it. 144 gravels.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Mrs. Beach. What are you smiling so about?
Well, I was thinking that Vic's a pretty understanding kind of husband. Don't you think so, friends? Why, right now, I'd like to bake one of my very best Crisco pies just for Vic. Have you tried Crisco's new method for making pie crust yet, friends? I hope so. Because being able to count on pie crust turning out tender and flaky has just meant so much to me that, well, I'm sure it would give you confidence, too. You know, with Crisco and this new method, the Crisco people guarantee you tender, flaky pie crust every time or your money back. Yes, they'll refund you the price of a whole pound of Crisco. You see, Crisco's different from other shortenings at your store. It's made in a special way just to give you tender, flaky pie crust. I wish you'd get some Crisco. The new pastry method is printed right on the label. And I think you'll like it so much that, well, you'll be making pies just to show how good you are.
And so we leave Mrs. Beach and Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Don't forget to listen. This is Ed Roberts speaking.